Oh. The great. saints declaring your great renown. Your kingdom forever will stand. We won't be shaken. We will not fail. I got a mighty warrior. You're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus the great.
Hallelujah. The Gospel of John says that the light came into the world. God came into the world. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. And later, that same author, John, would write in the book of Revelation that the angels cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Do you recognize the holiness of God today? As we sing this song, are we aware of the sacredness of this season that we're in? Are we aware of the sacredness of the Savior who lives inside of us, the one who is holy and the one who makes us holy, not because of anything we've done, but because of who he is? I want us to sing that one more time. Fall on your knees. And as we sing that, let's sing it with worship. Let's sing it with a fresh revelation of the holiness of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, let's sing it one more time. Fall on your knees. Jesus, we love you today. We thank you for your holiness. We thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you came to us and that you've given us life. We thank you for the way that you make us holy, the way that you set us apart for yourself, for your love and for your glory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You can be seated. I want to thank you for coming to Carpenter Shop International Church. Welcome. We're glad you're here. If you're tuning in online, thank you for joining us. If this is your first time with us, after the service, please step by the Welcome Center in the foyer. We'd like to give you a special gift and a personal welcome to Carpenter Shop Church. At this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. There are several ways you can give. You can do so by text. You can do so on our My Church app. You can also do so on our website. If you're writing a check, please include your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. If you're watching online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box. And we welcome you to come forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets. God bless you as you give.
Praise God. Don't forget to tell somebody you missed them this morning. Amen. You guys come on up with me. Come on. This morning we have very, very special guest all the way from Bethel, North Carolina. Long, weary trip. We have Cliff and Judy Hobbs. Cliff is the tall one. Judy's the pretty one, if you didn't know. They have, Bonnie and I got to spend some time with them last night, and we just fell in love with this couple, in which we do all of our missionary couples that we get to see and meet and hear about what they're doing. And they went on their very first long-term mission trip to Bolivia in 2019, and guess what? COVID hit. And so they had to come home early, and now they are, like many of us, just kind of in limbo, waiting for things to clear back up so they can get back to the call that they believe is on their lives. They are a very special couple. They have two sons that they'll tell you, that Cliff will tell you about, and they are doing a mighty work. And as I talked with them last night, I was reminded of this scripture, and I know they're very familiar with it. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And the things that thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And this is their mission. And you'll learn about it, and I believe that God has a word for us this morning that's going to come through these special young people. And that we are going to be inspired and encouraged, and we're going to do more for the kingdom and be more productive than we ever have. We love you. We thank you. We welcome you. Be blessed. You come in now. You just stay up and you come back.
Oh, give you that. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you love Jesus, say, "I love Jesus." You know, Jesus is the reason why we're here. Amen. Amen. Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And the disciples were saying, "Well, some say you're Elijah, some say John the Baptist, you know." But then he says, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, upon this rock, the statement that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, "I will build my church." And so when we gather together as God's people, we are here to exalt the Lord Jesus. Amen? The King of kings and the Lord of lords. For he alone is worthy. Amen? Amen. And Jesus says, he says, "If I be lifted up from this earth, I will draw all men to myself." And I believe if we would but exalt the Lord Jesus, not only here in these four walls, but on the streets and in our workplace and our families, if we would exalt Jesus, then the Holy Spirit will draw them unto him. Because Jesus is full of love and he is full of light. A coworker of mine shared his testimony with me yesterday, and he was telling me about how, you know, he was living on the streets in gangs and selling drugs and owned drugs, and he walked into a gas station, and there was an old man walked in singing, "Jesus loves me." He said, those words just hit him like a ton of bricks. It hit his heart. The love of Jesus just shone in his heart, and it transformed his life. And now he's preaching the gospel. Praise God for Jesus. Amen. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to thank you all for letting us be here today to visit with you guys. Already you feel like family. And so thank you for hosting us last night and today. It's been a joy. Like the brother said, we spent several months in Bolivia, 10 months to be exact. And we were planning to do a longer term, but COVID interrupted some things, and we felt like we needed to come back home. And now we're in a season of transition, seeking the Lord. And before I get into the word today, I just want to just show a little commercial of a slideshow of some pictures of us in Bolivia. And I hope it blesses your heart as every time I see it, it blesses mine. So we'll just take a few moments and just go through that slideshow, and then I'll come and we'll share the word.
La cruz está ante mí, el mundo atrás quedó. La cruz está ante mí, el mundo atrás quedó. La cruz está ante mí, el mundo atrás quedó. No vuelvo atrás, no vuelvo atrás.
Oh, he decidido. La cruz está ante mí.
La cruz está ante mí. El mundo atrás quedó. La cruz está ante mí. El mundo atrás quedó. La cruz está ante mí. El mundo atrás quedó. No vuelvo atrás. No vuelvo atrás.
Oh, he decidido.
He decidido.
cruz está ante mí.
La cruz está ante mí. El mundo atrás quedó. La cruz está ante mí. El mundo atrás quedó. La cruz está ante mí. El mundo atrás quedó. No vuelvo atrás.
No vuelvo.
Praise the Lord. The Lord is faithful. Every picture has a story, and I know those stories, and I apologize that it's just a picture to you, but to me, it's God's faithfulness and all the things that he has done in us, through us, in spite of us there in Bolivia. And I want to give a special thanks to churches like you who support missionaries. God is raising up people, sending them to different places, not only here in the United States, but also in other parts of the world. Our good friends, Kevin and Mariah, are here, and I think you've met them, fine people, good friends of ours, and praise God that they're here with us, joining us today. But primarily, our ministry in Bolivia was training. Our heart is for the local church. We want to equip and mobilize the local church to fulfill her calling. And that calling is to fulfill the Great Commission. Amen? That's why we're here. That's our purpose in this world. And we're going to get into that into God's Word. But I hope and I pray, maybe you guys can help me on this. But if I would love to share more about our experiences in Bolivia and all that God has done. And so if you guys want us to come back, we'll be glad to come back. And we'll show and we'll give you the stories behind all of those pictures. And so you will know, be able to hear about God's faithfulness in Bolivia. But you have to invite me back. But today, I want to bring a message from the Word. So you understand about what our mission was in Bolivia. I want to talk first about what God's mission is. And so today, we want to talk about God's mission. Everybody say God's mission. We're going to be talking about God's mission from Genesis to Revelation. So I hope to have you out of here by 3 o'clock. No, it won't take that long, at least by 2. So we're going to start in Genesis, and we're going to go to Revelation. Because I believe, you know, if the church, if it doesn't understand what God's mission is, we won't know what our mission is. And if the church don't know what their mission is, then we as individuals, people of the church, we make up the church, we won't know what our mission is. So it starts with God's mission, God's heart. What does God want to do in this world? What has he been doing? What does he intend to do? And how is that going to be played out in the future? And so that's what I want to share with you all today. So let's start in the beginning, Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, just turn with me. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Now as we look, we're going to look at various passages of scriptures. And I want you to think of a question, think of these two questions as we look at these various questions. How far does God's mission extend? And who is God using to fulfill that mission? Everybody remember the questions? What's the first question? How far does God's mission or intent goes? And then the second question, who is he going to use to fulfill it? There's two questions I want you to think about as we go through these verses of Scripture. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. It reads, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. How did God create humans? In his image. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So from the very beginning, we see the beginning of God's mission and what he intends to do in this world. First of all, he creates humans, you and I, in his image. So we are created in the image of God. We are image bearers. And then he gives a command to his image bearers to do what? What did he command us to do? He said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. What's that sound like? He said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Have babies. Have lots of babies. Fill this earth because you are created in my image. And God wants to fill his good creation with his marvelous image. So we are given a command from the very beginning to fill this earth, to be fruitful, be productive in the things that we do in life, and multiply, make babies, and fill this earth and take care of it. All right? So that was God's intent from the very beginning, was to fill this earth with his image. And then we see in chapter 11, we see a contrasting story to God's command, a disobedience of man. We remember the story of Babel. Y'all remember the story of Babel? Kind of a strange story. And in verse 4, it says, they said, come. These are some the people that were settling, they were going through and settled in the land of Shinar in verse 2. In verse 4, they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city, a tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. So here we have people saying, let's build a city. Let's build a tower that will reach heaven. Why? To make a name for ourselves. Let's make our name great in this world, and let's stay here in this city, make our name great, lest we be scattered over the face of the earth. Now, what did God want man to do? Scatter and fill this earth with his image. But here we have a blatant disobedience that says, no, we're going to stay right here, and we're going to make a name for ourselves. Never mind God's name. Never mind his mission. It's all about me. I'm going to make my name great in this place. I'm going to bring glory to myself, irregardless of what God wants to do. And so God reached down and he mixed up their languages and forced them to scatter because they couldn't understand each other. Everybody was speaking a different language. So the Chinese would find people speaking Chinese. You speak Chinese? Yeah, I speak Chinese. All right, let's go together. The Spanish would get together with their Spanish people and the English with their English people and etc. And so they clustered themselves together in tribes and went to different places and filled the earth. So God's image would go to all the earth. And turning the page in chapter 12 of Genesis, we see the call of Abraham, where God raises up a man. His name was Abraham, and he says, leave your family, your land. Let's read it together, 1-3. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to a land which I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. How many families will be blessed through Abraham? All the families will be blessed through Abraham, because as the scripture goes on and we see in Galatians, the Apostle Paul gives a clarification to this, because it was in the line of Abraham. You remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The line of Jesus was going to be born. The Savior of the world. The blessing for all the families of the earth. See, God had a plan. God had a mission. From the very beginning was to fill this earth with his image, was to raise up a man who will and a nation who will become a nation through which our Lord and Savior would be born. to save all mankind from their sins, to reverse the effects of the fall that we saw in Genesis, to restore the image that was been marred by sin. And then we have another story in Numbers chapter 14. One of my favorite stories. I know you know this story, but I love to tell this story. In Numbers chapter 14. I don't think we read the book of Numbers much. Numbers chapter 14, verse 21. If you're there, say, I love Jesus. Amen. Numbers chapter 14, verse 21, it reads, but indeed, this is God speaking, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Does that sound like a promise to you? You know, we believe in God's promises, right? We believe in declaring and praying and clinging to the promises of God. Well, this promise in this verse says that God says, I will fill this earth with my glory. He's going to fill it with his image. He's going to raise up a nation to bring Jesus to save all the world. And he says, I will fill this place with my glory. Now, I want to spend some time on the story to give a little context on why God said that. So if we can back up to the story in chapter 13 and 14. So we're just kind of skim through this story. You know the story of Moses, how God raised up Moses to lead the Hebrew people out of Egyptian bondage. Raise your hand if you know the story. You've heard the story. Say, I love Jesus. Amen. So they get close to the brink of the promised land. You see, God had a plan. He says, I'm going to take you to a land that's flowing with milk and honey, a marvelous land, a fruitful land, a wonderful land, because God had a purpose. God had a mission. And they get to the brink of the promised land, and God says to Moses, says, tell them to send spies out into the land to check it out. 12 spies he chose. And in, so chapter 13, verse 18 through 20. Let's see what they were going in there to spy. He says in verse 18, see what the land is like and whether the people who live in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many. How is the land in which they live? Is it good or bad? And how are the cities in which they live? Are they like open camps or with fortifications? How is the land? Is it fat or is it lean? Are there trees in it or not? Make an effort then to get some fruit of the land. Now that time was a time of the first ripe grapes. All right. So these 12 spies were to go in this land and check it out. See what's growing there. See what the cities are like. See what kind of fortifications they have. And the spies returned, and this is what they said. So they gave out to the sons of Israel in verse 32 a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone is spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. Everybody say great size. Great size. Verse 33, there also we saw the Nephilim. These are giants in the land. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. So the 12 spies return, and they give a bad report. They were fearful. They said, we cannot take this land. There are giants in this land. There's people that's twice as big as me. How are we going to conquer this land? But there was two spies that says, no, we can conquer this land because God has gone before us. God will fight for us. He's already removed their defenses. All we have to do is go get it. That's God's promise. He says, I will give this land to you. But the 12 spies says, no. But Joshua and Caleb, you remember Joshua and Caleb? They said, no, we can take this land. And verse 9 is in verse 14. Well, let's see, verse 14, verse 3. He says, why is the Lord, they were complaining, why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Imagine that. God raises them out of slavery, taking them to the promised land. And they get to the land and say, no, we can't enter. We can't defeat these giants. And Joshua and Caleb says, oh, yes, we can. And they were, Joshua and Caleb stood up. And you know what the people wanted to do to them? They wanted to stone them. They say, no, let's raise up a leader and let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back to slavery. Never mind God's mission. I want to go back where it's comfortable, where it's predictable. And I don't want to trust God to do what he said he's going to do. How do you think God felt about that? God was very displeased. And so God says in verse 12 of chapter 14, he says, I will smite them with pestilence and I will dispossess them. And I will make you, Joshua and Caleb, a great nation, a greater nation, a nation greater and mightier than they. And so God was saying, I'm going to wipe them out. The children of Israel, the Hebrew people that he had brought from Egypt, God says, I will wipe them off the face of this earth. I will smite them. I will destroy them. And then Moses pleaded with God and says, Moses says, no, don't do that. Don't do that, please. Because Egypt will hear of it and say that you can't keep your promises. And then this is when God says in verse 21. In verse 20, he says, so the Lord said, I have pardoned them according to your word. And in verse 21, but indeed as I live, all the earth will be filled with my glory. So you see what's happening. God was had chosen Israel, the Hebrew people, to fill the land with his glory, with his name, to make his name known. And they, what did they say? They said, no. God was going to do this through the people of Israel, through the Hebrew people. But the people says, no. We don't trust God to do what he said he would do. We want to go back to Egypt. And God said, okay, fine. You want to do that? He says, I will make you wander in the wilderness for 40 years. You will die in the wilderness. You ever wonder why they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years? I wondered that. Well, this is why. The spies went into the land for 40 days. They had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. 1 year for every day they spied out the land. Verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall possess it. In verse 29, your corpses will fall into the wilderness, even all your numbered men, according to your complete number, from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. Surely you shall not come into the land in which I swore to settle you, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Your children, everybody say your children. Everybody say next generation. Your children, however, whom you said will become prey, I will bring them in, and you will know the land which you have rejected. And so God says, you don't want to fulfill my mission? That's fine. You will wander in the wilderness for 40 years. It took 40 years for the first generation to die. They died in the wilderness until finally, when all of them died, the second generation was raised up, their children. And they were a generation of faith to trust God and to believe God and to do what God intends to do in and through them. And so they're the ones that would enter into the promised land and defeat the giants led by Joshua and Caleb. And so you see, God has a mission and he's going to use people to fulfill that mission. And in this case, he wanted to use that first generation. But they said no, they rejected the mission of God. And he says, fine, my mission still continues. Whether you like it or not, I will fulfill my mission. And his mission here was to fill the earth with his glory. And so as we, as a church, if we say yes to God's mission, God is going to send us and he's going to use us. But we can be like that first generation and we say, no, I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to do what I want to do. I want to fulfill what I want to do. But know this, God will still do it. God will still reach Ahoskie with the gospel. God will still reach North Carolina with the gospel. God will still raise up missionaries to go to Africa and Bolivia and Mexico and Russia and Germany, wherever. He will still do it, even if we say no. And I don't know about you, but I want to be like that second generation. Do you? I want to be like the second generation that says, yes, Lord, I will go, I will do, fulfill your mission in and through me. Because we could live like the first generation. We can go back to Egypt, or we can wander in the wilderness. We can live our lives comfortable, or, you know, whatever our lives are like. We can live our lives. We can make our name for ourselves. But we will die. We will get old. Our hair will get gray. And then we will die. But God's mission will continue. If, as a church, if we don't say yes to God's mission, God will raise up a church right next door who will. Either way, God will do it. That is a promise. And we look forward to that promise. And we want to be the second generation who believes God and wants to partner with God in his mission. So now let's go to Psalm 72. Fast forward to Psalm 72. Psalm 72, 18 and 19. This is a prayer of David. Psalm 18 and 19. Psalm 72, verse 18 and 19. He says, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone works wonders. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and may the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Is that your prayer today? Can that be our prayer as a church? That God will fill this world, this earth, with his glory. That he will fill my home with his glory. That he will fill my workplace with his glory. That God will fill this church with his glory. That God will fill this community of Ahoskie with his glory. That he will fill the United States with his glory. He will fill this earth with his glory. God, do it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. And then we say, well, why? And sometimes we wonder, why did God create us? And what is our purpose in life? Psalm 67. Let's go there. Psalm 67. Let's read the whole thing, 1 through 7. It says, God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Why? That your way may be known on all the earth and your salvation among all nations. You see God's mission here? You see his intent? This prayer is, Lord, bless us that your way may be known on all the earth. Why does God bless us? Is it to make us feel good and be blessed? No. It's for him. It's for him. It's not for you. It's for him. It's for his glory. So if God's blessings is not bringing glory to God, you're not using the tool properly that he's given you. Our blessing, God blesses us that we may be a blessing. And let's continue. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. How many people? All peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear him. So why does God bless us? To make all the ends of the earth know who he is. To fill this place with his glory. So that God's image will be known. God's name will be known among all nations of all peoples everywhere. That's why God blesses us. It's not for us. It's for him. Why wouldn't it be for us? And why is it for him? He deserves it. He is worthy. We are not worthy. We are rotten sinners, saved only by the grace of God. Only by the blood of Jesus are we saved. Only by the grace of God can we stand with anything. We are rotten sinners, saved by the grace of God, and only he is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Amen? Worthy is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is worthy of all praise. That's why he wants to fill this earth with his glory. This is why he wants his name to be known among all the nations. This is why he wants all praise to be towards him, not towards us and other things, but towards him, because he is worthy. Why do we praise the Lord? Because he is worthy. He is great. He is mighty. He is incredible. One of my favorite words in Bolivia, Spanish words, was increíble. Incredible. God is incredible. He is worthy of all praise and all glory. And so this is why God must fill this place with his glory. This is why God is on mission to fill this place with his glory, to make his name known. It's not for us. It's for him, because he is worthy. Now let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah. Isaiah 43:7. When you're there, say, I love Jesus. Why did God create me? What in the world is he doing creating me? Everyone who is called by my name, and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. Young people, y'all listen to this verse. Young and old, it don't matter. Everybody listen to this verse, but particularly young people. You may wonder why you're here. Why do you exist? Why were you born? It's right here. You were born for his glory. For his glory. We exist, we breathe, we were created for his glory. And so if we are not bringing glory and honor to him, to God Almighty, then we're not fulfilling the purpose which God has created us to do. We are created for his glory. Now let's go to the New Testament. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Matthew 24:14. We see the vision of Jesus on the mission of God. Matthew 24:14. So we see in Genesis, it started with God's creation, creating humans in his image and his command to fill the earth. Multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth with his image. And then with Abraham, God raising up a nation through which Jesus one day will be born. And they are to be a light to the nations, to make his name known among all peoples around the world. And then we see Jesus saying these words. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a testimony against them, against the nations, and then the end will come. Remember in Numbers, God says, I will fill this earth with my glory. Remember that? That's a promise. It's going to happen. And Jesus is saying, before he returns, the gospel is going to be preached to all nations, all tribes, and all languages. You see that? Now we believe we're a church that is expecting an imminent return of Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come now. Deliver us from this evil, suffering world and take us home. We believe that. But there's some things that must take place before that day comes. And this is one of those things, that the gospel shall be preached in all nations before that day will come. But get ready, because that day is coming. Because when you look look at the different mission organizations and many of the different missionaries, you know where they're sending them? They're sending them to places where the gospel has never been preached. Really? Ain't it right? Kevin probably talked about the 1040 window when he was here to speak with you guys. It's a place where the gospel is not, it's places where the gospel has not gone yet. And people, missionaries are packing up, taking their children and selling out everything and going to these places to preach the gospel. And God is raising up churches, missionaries, and laborers to take the gospel where it has not gone. This is the vision of Jesus. He will come back. He will return. But all nations will hear the gospel. All tribes and all languages will hear the gospel. And then we have the Acts 1:8, where Jesus gives a commission to the disciples. Well, actually, in Matthew 28:19-20, who could say that verse by memory? Matthew 28, the Great Commission verse. Who knows it? Anybody want to stand up and recite it? Mariah, you got it? I saw your hand. Okay. All right, Kevin. Amen. So this is the commission of Jesus to his disciples. And where did he tell them to go? All the world. Go and make disciples of all nations. Remember, he says, this gospel shall be preached to all nations. Then he tells his disciples, go to all nations. Missionaries today now are going to all nations. All nations are being exposed to the gospel. Guess what? Get ready. Jesus is coming soon. Amen? Amen. But there's still a lot of work to be done. So don't forget about that. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says to his disciples, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. So this is the vision of God. This is his heart. This is his intent. This is his mission to fill this earth with his glory, to saturate the nations with the gospel of Jesus, the good news that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And then in Revelation, we see the end of the story. We see a picture in heaven on the fulfillment of God's mission. Are you ready? You ready to see the end of the story? From Genesis to Revelation, everybody turn to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, another one of my favorite verses of Scripture. Revelation chapter 7. John sees a vision in heaven. He sees some things. And this is one of the things that he sees. Verse 9, chapter 7. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation, all tribes and all peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches, were in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Did the gospel go to the nations? It did. How many people did John see in heaven here? Numerous. So many that no one could count, it says. There were, like, I don't know how many people that would be. We can't count them. Like billions, 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 trillions of people in heaven. And he says, where were they from? Every nation, every tongue, every tribe in heaven worshiping and praising God and giving glory to the Lamb, that is Jesus. Amen? So the vision of Jesus that says this gospel shall be preached to all nations, guess what? In the end, it reached all nations because there are churches like you and missionaries God is raising up and go into the nations. Go into the nations, taking the gospel where it never has been. Jesus will come back soon. So I want to commend you, church, in supporting your missionaries, to supporting the advance of the gospel. But don't forget, we have nations here among us. Even here in Ahoski, we have Asian people, Indian people. We have different races of people, Hispanic people. We have different races of people. The nations are here, right in our backyard. our neighbors, the people we work with. These are the nations, and we don't even have to go to the nations. The nations have come to us, and we have an opportunity, even though we may not go to Africa or Asia or China, we can go across the street or across the hall in our office at work, and we can share the gospel and make the name of the Lord known to tell people about Jesus. This is God's mission. This is his heart. From the very beginning, God has been working to this end, to fill this place with his glory, to make his name known among all nations, to saturate the nations with the gospel. And he uses people to do it. In Genesis, he used Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 12, he uses Abraham, and which would become the nation of Israel. In the New Testament, he used the disciples. And today, who's he using? Us, the church. And we are the body of Christ. We are the church. God is going to fulfill and complete his mission through the church. Amen? Through the carpenter shop, church. He's going to do this. Are you ready, church? Are you ready to partner with God, to join God in his mission to fulfill the Great Commission, to make the nations know the gospel, to saturate every home in the Husky or wherever you come from with the gospel of Jesus? Is that what you want? Are you first generation or second generation? Anybody want to go back to Egypt? Do y'all want to go to the promised land? The place that God has prepared for us is out there on the streets where people are hurting, people are broken. People need Jesus. Jesus is the only hope for all the world, and people need Jesus. And the church has that message of hope, the gospel. Let us as a church rise up and let us preach the gospel. And let us go as Jesus commands us to go, to make disciples of all nations. Amen? So as a church, let's commit together. Let's stand up. Now, if you don't want to be a part of the second generation of Joshua and Caleb, who's gonna go and defeat the giants, then that's fine. You don't have to stand up. You can stay seated, or you can just shut your ears. But if you want to be that Joshua and Caleb generation, the second generation that says, yes, I want to fulfill God's mission. I want to join God in what he is doing here in Ahoski, there in Africa, in Bolivia, and China, and the different places. So let's pray a prayer of commitment this morning, that we will be a church that preaches the gospel, to join God in his mission. Father, we thank you today, and we give you glory. Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy of all praise and all glory. Receive the glory today, Lord. Receive the honor, for you are worthy. We are not worthy, Lord. We are rotten sinners saved by grace. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for saving us, Lord Jesus. Through your blood, we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Thank you for your mission in this world. Thank you, Lord, for your intent to reach the nations, to fill this place with your glory, with your image, with the gospel of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, by your grace, choosing to use us to partner with you, to join you in your work, to fulfill your mission, the Great Commission, to make your name known among all peoples. Help us today. Today we are committing to join you, Lord. To join you and fight. To join you and preach. To join you and strive for for the mission that you have given to us, that we will not be a sleeping church, but we'll be a church alive, and that we will go as you say go, and we will come as you say come, and we will do what you have called us to do in Jesus' name. May we be light in darkness. We pray for the families in our community, our neighbors and our families, people that we work with who are broken, who are struggling, who need the power of Jesus to be manifest in their lives. May we bring them the hope of salvation through the gospel of Jesus. Give us opportunities, Lord, and may we be faithful to walk through those doors. Put your words on our mouth. May we open our mouths, Lord, with the love of Jesus, the preaching of the gospel to the broken world. Give us courage. Give us boldness. Fulfill your mission in us, Lord. Fulfill your mission in this church. Fulfill your mission in this world. Come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory and honor are due to you, Father. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Jesus, you are Lord. Be exalted in this place today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. We lift up the name of Jesus. Jesus, you are Lord. Hallelujah. We commit today, Lord Jesus, to your mission, the Great Commission. Hallelujah. We will go, Lord. We will go. We will support. We will partner. We will live for you, Lord Jesus. Empower us with your Holy Spirit. Guide us by your Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Let's just praise the Lord today. He is good. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. We lift up his name. Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, you are Lord. Be exalted in this place. I lift it up, for you are worthy. Worthy are you, Lord. Hallelujah. Digno eres tú. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. We praise you. Glory to his name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. As the gospel goes forth from this place today, as the early church pray, may you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders, Lord. May you manifest your power in the preaching of the gospel in people's lives. May you break the chains that are binding people, Lord. May you set them free and liberate your people, Lord. Bring salvation to their hearts and deliverance in their souls to live for you, Almighty God. To live for you, Almighty God, and give you glory. Hallelujah. Break the chains, Lord. Break the chains of bondage.
Like always, we want to be a blessing. And we have the buckets up here. I'm going to have the praise team lead us in a song. And I want you to do what the Holy Ghost says do. I know it's Christmas time. And I know bank accounts get small this time of year. But don't neglect God. Because I believe God has spoken to us. We're the church every day of the year. And we will be fruitful. Amen. Amen. Let's be a blessing this morning. Said this is a time of signs and wonders. Healings will take place this morning. Who's got a need this morning? Because I'm going to let these two missionaries pray over you. Anybody? Anybody need prayer? Right here, Mariah. Okay. Anybody else? Let's pray. Father, we do give you praise. We love you, Lord, with all of our heart. We trust you for everything. We ask you, Lord, just to be, take what we give and multiply it. Make it be enough. Make it go further than we ever imagined. Lord, we want to be very productive in the kingdom. We want to do what you want us to do, and we want to send who you want to send. So help us today, Lord, and raise up partners that we might send more and more to the nations. We love you now, Lord. Your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to get on their mailing list, I have a clipboard here. You can stop right up front and put your name down, and they'll include you with their newsletter, and you can stay in touch with them. I'll be staying in touch with them, but if you want to be personally in touch with them or might want to support them monthly, this is the way to do it. Please come by and sign it. Amen. Be blessed in the Lord. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you next Sunday morning. Amen.